Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is the Compassion and Divorce Coach at CoachesForDivorceWomen.com. Today, our topic is emotional infidelity. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away.
I'm so confused, you know. My husband says there's nothing going on with him and this chick at work, Annie, but I just can't. He just seems to always be there for her. For instance, they have lunch every day together. Whenever he gets home, they sit there and they play on Facebook, and he talks to her on Facebook. And just the other day, my car broke down, and instead of coming to fix my car, he went to her house to fix a water leak. And I'm thinking, geez, where am I in this equation? So many people say that it's fine for a man and a woman to be friends, but I don't know. He keeps saying that they don't have that, you know, there's nothing going on, but I just can't help but wonder, you know, it's really a weird relationship that they have. And matter of fact, there's this neat car show that I wanted to go to last. I told him, I go, hey, how about if we go to this car show? And he goes, no, I'm already going with Annie. And I thought, well, is he choosing to go with her versus me? But, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what to do.
You know, it's interesting. I when I go downstairs, I ask my significant other, hey, can you help me out with this? Or what is it? Are you busy? Can you help me out? And all I see here is texting someone. And I'm thinking, okay, well, she tells me I'm busy. I go, well, what are you busy? She goes, well, I'm talking to one of my friends. And I think to myself, okay, well, when's it my turn? When do you have time for me? And so it's interesting for me that texting or Facebook messaging, that somebody would take more time to do that than having a one-on-one face-to-face with somebody else or your significant other.
Very good, and welcome to today's episode about emotional infidelity. And emotional infidelity is a huge topic these days and is really getting more and more. You can join in on the conversation by going to facebook.com/groups/yourtoxicrelationshipdance. You can ask us questions during the show, and we'll get to them or make comments. You can also call in 713-955-0561. And if you're on the Blog Talk Radio page, there's a chat box where you can put in your information. And with that, my scenario at the beginning was 100% true with me and my ex. So I have heard so many things by so many people, and they're like, you know, I always go back to sort of like Bill Clinton. Well, I used to always ask my ex if they were doing something, and I always think, you know, Bill Clinton, I never had sexual relations with that woman. So in his mind, certain things, and Bill's mind, certain things wasn't sexual. However, even if, you know, and there definitely was sexual relationships with him, but I know that a lot of people believe that. And even if you've never done anything, what type of a sexual attraction is there between you, and how much are you putting this other person above your mate? Because your mate, the person that you say that you love and you choose to be with, should be their happiness should be utmost in your mind. And you should choose them over the other. And it's really tough today because I personally believe that an emotional affair, especially a long-term emotional affair, is worse than a sexual affair. Because a lot of times sexual affairs are, hey, it was in the moment, it was in the heat in the moment, you get heated up and passionate, but there's no emotional connection. And whenever two people, whenever the person you love has an emotional connection with somebody else, it just cuts right through your heart. Because this is what some people call an emotional affair of the heart. And an emotional affair of the body, if there's no heart in it, to me isn't as cutting as whenever somebody consistently chooses the other person over you. We had Mary Knight on in May speaking about how to keep your man out of my bed. And Mary and I are good friends, and she always says that all the time that she was a call girl, the men wanted to connect with her emotionally. They wanted to talk about their problems. She said there was actually more talking than there ever was sex. And that says, you know, tells me that it's something that men and women both struggle with constantly, is we want that emotional attachment with our partner. We want them to listen to us. We want to feel like they care about what we care about.
Maybe it's the sphere of influence or the people I hang out with or the stuff that I read or listen to. But it seems to me that only just recently, and I don't know how recent, maybe just a few years, that the terminology of emotional infidelity or emotional affair popped into my space and perhaps for everybody else in the audience. So why all of a sudden it's coming to the forefront? I mean, all we ever did talk about is sexual affairs or having an affair with someone. But now this emotional infidelity and emotional affairs, this terminology is popping up. Why now and not before?
Yeah, I think that they did, again, come up sometime in the 90s, and I think it's all technology. I remember when I was going to a therapist in the early 90s, my therapist kept telling me that my ex's relationship was perfectly fine because they were just friends. And, I mean, this went on for, like, ever. I mean, it started in 1988, and my ex died in 2004, and it was still going on when he died. My children have no idea what to think of their relationship. It was very interesting, to say the least. Took its toll on me to no end. And I was very confused. I still find people, even though the term's out there more, I still find people questioning it. On my Facebook page, Support for Divorced Women, I actually asked the question, is this considered adultery? Is an emotional affair considered adultery? I was surprised that about a third of the people said no, because it is adultery. It doesn't have to be sexual to be adultery. It's infidelity simply because they are they're not giving their heart to you the way that they should. And the reason that it came up, again, is because of the technology. In your scenario earlier, you were talking about texting. We didn't have texting in the early 90s, you know? I mean, we didn't have texting till the early 2000s sometime. Facebook is huge. Facebook, a lot of people say Facebook is like the devil incarnated because it breaks up so many relationships. However, it can only break up a relationship if the person allows it to. I know a lot of times people will go on Facebook and they'll reconnect with their exes. I mean, I have to say, hey, I've checked out my exes on Facebook. It's something, you know, but I'm not taking action on it. It's sort of like, I wonder what's happened. But if you're a little bit sad in your relationship or you feel like you're not getting that emotional support in your relationship, my mom used to call me a garage widow because, I swear, if my ex wasn't with his friends, he was in the garage working. Diddling around. So if you're feeling that you're not being fed emotionally, you're going to find that emotional feed somewhere. Now, back in the day, all I had was the telephone. So with the telephone, it's not like I could sit there and connect with all these different people. And I had TV. I mean, this was, you know, and my kids. So you didn't have as many people to even go out there with. Today, with Facebook, people connect with their exes, they connect with other people, they'll go in these groups, and for whatever reason, they connect.
What's interesting here is, as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about something that I was dealing with, but So the internet, social media, the ability to text has brought this emotional infidelity or emotional affair to the forefront. So, but like you said, back in the early 90s, we didn't have all this technology, and therefore it was almost non-existent. Either you did it through a phone call or somebody you met for over lunch or something. But the internet and social media and texting has made it even more easier to have this emotional infidelity or affair. So that's interesting in itself. I never even thought of it in that perspective. So what we're doing here, or what we're going into, is a whole new paradigm of quote unquote issues that can become from all this technology in regards to emotional affairs and infidelity.
And what it is, it starts regardless. You're not, you know, if you're in a happy relationship, if you're in a happy, healthy relationship, such as me, okay. You can go online and, you know, if people, you know, try to hit on you or do whatever, it just doesn't faze you because you're being fed emotionally and physically, and you're just not on the market, for lack of a better way of putting it. I know my very first boyfriend, like from the ninth grade, found me on Facebook and sent me a friend request. And so I told my husband, I go, hey, Mike, you know, this is the deal. I go, do you care if I accept it? He's like, why would I care if you're friends with him on Facebook? So it's all that. It's having a healthy relationship where I am considering my husband's feelings because I know my husband considers my feelings. He knew what I went through with my ex, and when I first moved in with him, he has a friend that's a woman. So I'm not saying you can't have men and women friends, because you can be. But when does it cross the line? It crosses the line when you put your friend above the other person. But Mike, he called me up and he said, hey, you know, my friend needs a ride to the car dealership. Do you care if I take her? You know, do you care if I take her? Is it going to bug you? And I thought, no, it doesn't bug me. But this is him showing respect for my feelings. And if there's an emotional affair, they don't. One instance, and it can go deeper, but this is really sad. I like bears. Anybody that knows me knows that I like bears. I like the little knick-knack bears. I like not so much the stuffed bears, but I love the little knick-knack bears. Just, I'm bear crazy. I think bears are the coolest thing in the world. So I had gotten fired from my job, and I was feeling really, really, really low. And Earl came home, and he brought me this little Forever Rose thing, these Forever Roses that just came out back then. And it was in this little black vase that had like a flower, decor on the black vase was where this little Forever Rose was. And then he proceeds to tell me, yeah, Annie was having a bad day too, so I bought her one too. And come to find out, hers was a bear with a heart on it. So where was his mind to give her a bear with a heart on it nonetheless, and me this regular little vase? And therefore he was obviously putting his emotions with her more than me. They also talked about sex all the time, because he would tell me that they talked about sex. And I just don't think that a man and a woman that are not in a romantic relationship should be talking about sex. What's your idea on that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, and as I was listening to you, I don't know about you, Cindy, but I know that I love supporting people and I love helping people. That's my nature. And so people automatically feel comfortable with me and reach out to me, either strangers or their friends or even relatives will reach out to me. And I enjoy doing that. Has there been conversations where I've talked about anything from sex to what's going on in their personal lives? Yes, I have. But where I draw the line, at least for me personally, is when it starts getting really quote-unquote personal. Or it brings me into getting involved in whatever's going on in that scenario. And that's where I draw the line, because then it starts becoming emotional. It starts becoming, I am now becoming part of the story. And so what I do is, and again, as people reach out to me, if, you know, you got to draw the line, or at least I do. I have to draw the line and say, okay, this is as far as I'm willing to go. But once you cross that line and then I become part of your story, then now I'm emotionally involved.
But again,
I have friendships. You know, I'm blessed to have many, many friends, and some of them, you know, male and female. You know, they're looking for support, and I'm there for them, but I just don't cross that line where I become part of that story.
Mm-hmm. And exactly, and I think that was it with that. They actually used to say that they could never have sex together because he was married. So that was definitely going over the line in a personal way. But let's sort of get to today's technology, because I really think this is where a lot of people experience it. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just texting him. I'm just private messaging him or talking to him on Facebook. There's no harm in that. Sitting there like you in your scenario at the beginning, the harm in it is, like you said, why would you rather sit there and talk with somebody via an electronic device versus hold and touch and talk to somebody that you can see, feel, and hold? And so therefore it's a lack of respect for what you need. But on the same token, I know that this has happened to several people, where it's like you'll just for your mate's phone has never been blocked. You know, and one time you pick it up, and lo and behold, there's a it's blocked. I know one person who, but their significant other's phone to take a picture of their child, and this was a gentleman. And so then when he couldn't, you know, it was locked, and he thought, well, this is weird. She's never locked her phone before. And his son said, oh, I know the code, Daddy. So his son unlocked the phone, and right there was all these text messages about, you know, they were very borderline. They weren't like, you know, oh, I can't wait to jump your bones or anything like that. But it was like, I can't wait to see you again. You make me feel so good. I can talk to you. You're so easy to talk to, and you understand me. And he's like, oh, what the hell's going on here, right? Who's this dude she's texting? You know, I can't wait to talk to you because you understand me. And he's thinking, that's what I'm supposed to be here for. I try to understand you. I'll listen to you. And they did eventually break up. And it's, you know, women and men both. So there's this fine line. You don't want to be jealous and constantly checking up on the other person either, a healthy relationship. But if you suspect that
So two things I want to address here. One is, and something you just brought up. So, again, if you're the jealous type or the needy type, then you need to be careful with yourself, because you need to have enough self-respect or self-love or whatever you want to call it in order not to come across as jealous or needy. And there's obviously, and you got to be able to trust yourself enough that you can trust your significant other, so that everything's going to be okay. If you are jealous or needy, then there's something about you that that doesn't enable the trust factor to exist. Another aspect too, and it's the flip side to this, and going along or segue into this, is if another person, if your significant other is reaching out emotionally or having an emotional affair with somebody, then what is it about you that the person cannot emotionally attach to you? Why would they run off to go to somebody else? And
exactly.
I'm gonna throw myself into the fire here. And I know, and I didn't realize that at the time, but in this relationship that I brought up earlier, seeing and Facebook messaging with other people, and I didn't know it at the time, but with one specific person. So there was something about me that she no longer felt emotionally attached to me, and decided to go out, venture off to another direction. And so if I would have been aware enough or conscious enough of what's going on, and rather than just let it slide and you know, whatever, I may have been able to do something about that. I'm not sure I could have. But, you know, we all need to look at ourselves, too, because if our significant other is not reaching out to us emotionally, then what is it about us that's not allowing that emotional attachment or connection to exist?
And I think it can go both ways. And in order for any relationship to be healed, it does take both parts. So by the time one partner goes off with an emotional affair, you're in a pretty bad situation. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to come back, but it really takes both people want it to come back, and they have to be willing to work on themselves. You don't try to work on the other person. You need to work on yourself. And with this, it's so much about really respecting the other person and listening to them. The whole time Al was just speaking, if he was my mate and I was thinking, oh, God, I just wish he'd shut up, man. He just goes on and on about everything. You know, I have to go clean up the bedroom. I have to go clean the bathroom. You know, and then I still have to cook dinner. I'm wondering what I'm going to do. And, yeah, I have to call up Linda tonight, too. And then Al's like, what do you think? And I'm like, huh, what did you say? You just totally zone off. And you're being, at this point, you're being emotionally unavailable. And next week, being emotional unavailable will be our topic. And maybe I should have did them reverse. But whenever you're emotionally unavailable to each other, this sets the tune for one or both of you to go seek an emotional affair. And it's being present with the other person. It's whenever that person is speaking to you, you listen to every word that they say. You're attentive to them. You don't have to agree with them, but you're showing that you love this person by listening to them. I may have said this on another show before, but Annie was telling my ex one time about this movie she'd seen. And it probably took her 30 minutes, I mean, to tell him about this movie. He was attentive to her every word. And I can remember sitting there thinking, he would have shut me up after 30 seconds. There's no way this man would have let me sit there and tell the story she was telling. And I was talking to my sister-in-law, and I told my sister-in-law, I go, if I was telling you a boring story, listen to you because I love you. And I said, that's my point. I said, that's what Earl does with Annie all the time. He listens to her. He doesn't listen to me. And this is the beginning. It's being attentive. You need to be attentive to the other person. And you need to, even if you're not interested in what they're talking about, you have to act like it's the most exciting topic in the world, simply because you're showing that person love. You're showing them respect. And it's not that you're going to sit there forever, but if something's super important to one person, and you love that person, you should show them that they're important to you by listening to what's important to them. And
you know what,
so it's either,
you know what's interesting is, and as we go through this discussion here and talking about this, what comes to me now, and this, I'm being guided here as I'm about to say this, is that it all comes to you. You gotta for a couple of reasons. One is you gotta have enough self love for yourself. To first of all, not to come across either needy or jealous, and to be able to have enough self-love so that you trust your significant other, but most importantly, trust yourself. And from that foundation, then you'll be able to be emotionally there for the other person. Because if you care enough about yourself, you're going to be able to care enough about your significant other. And then on the flip side of that, if you care enough about yourself and you start questioning things or you start wondering about things, not from a jealous standpoint or from a needy standpoint, but if you start recognizing some signs and stuff, and I'm going to throw myself in the fire, obviously I didn't recognize them, so that says a lot about me. But if you care enough and love yourself enough, you will recognize the signs and be able to step in. I know you mentioned earlier that it may be too late at that point, but you can step in and say, okay, look, obviously you're reaching out to somebody else, and what can I do to reconnect with you because I care enough about you? And then if the other person says, hey, you know what, I'm done, you know, then you know it's over. If the other person says, hey, thank you for reaching out, I didn't know you felt this way about me, and you can say, well, you know, I didn't realize what I was doing, but I love myself enough to understand that there's something going on here, and I want to fix it, I want to rectify it. So I think it all comes back to you, you know, whether there's actually something going on or there's not, or it comes back to where are you functioning from, and what is going on in your life that's allowing either false or real these scenarios to exist.
And you know, and I 100% agree with you. I know back with Earl and Annie. I mean, when her husband was alive before she became a widow, the four of us were friends. So it's a very long, odd story. But I do know that as their relationship grew, as their love for each other, for lack of a better word, and their emotional attachment to each other grew, I was very ill, and I was going through a lot of stuff mentally, and I was very needy. I had one time, for some reason, I think I actually, because I wanted Earl to listen to it, I sat there and I recorded something for him. He worked an hour and a half away from where we lived, and sometimes we would make tape cassettes for each other. And I recorded something for him, and I listened to this thing about 2 years later after I had became more mentally healthier myself. And I thought, oh, my God, I sound horrible. I just sound whiny and needy. And I was like, no wonder he couldn't listen to me, man. I really sounded like, it was just, you can't come from a place like, please, please, please. Oh, my God, Alan, you don't love me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I will do anything for you because this is really being needy. And you cannot be needy and be in a healthy relationship. And whenever you become healthy yourself, not only do you love and respect yourself enough, you're in a place where you can love and respect the other person. And you know you are not responsible for the relationship. You can't change the other person. So a lot of times relationships fail just simply because one person grows at a faster rate than the other, or one person chooses to remain the same. I know with Earl, he really wanted things to remain the same, and he never dealt with a lot of his own demons in the past. And if your significant other is being emotionally needy and they're not dealing with their own demons, then there's nothing you can do to force them to do it. There's nothing you can force them to love you or to whatever. But when you start changing the way that you're treating them, then you're opening up the door, inviting them to grow with you.
Great topic, Cindy. I enjoyed having this conversation with you. And for the audience, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach from CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Check her out, guys. As you can hear, she's phenomenal. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diasforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, listen to our show. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, look us up on Facebook at Your Toxic Relationship Dance. You can do a search on it and find us. Okay. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. Cindy, thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
And thank you for being you, Mr. Al. And big love to everybody. And have a very happy and safe Independence Day.
Have a great day.